So this is.
Yeah, that dog. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to call to order the June 7th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, do we have anybody joining by phone?
We do not, no, sir.
Okay. I'm sure you guys have had an opportunity of reviewing the agenda. Seems like we've got one item that we would like to add, as we're terming beach property rights.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you please excuse Jim Dugan from the meeting?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even recognize that.
Yeah, he's not showing up.
I'll make a motion to excuse Jim Dugan.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah, thank you, Beth. Okay, as far as the agenda goes, we have one additional item that has been requested, and that's we're just terming that beach property rights, and Craig will go into some explanation on that. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
That goes in new business, right?
Yeah, that would be new business.
That'd be new business. All right. And then also assume that you guys have had the opportunity of reviewing last month's minutes. Any feedback, comments on that?
I make a motion. We approve the minutes as posted.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. All right. So I assume with no one on the phone, we don't have public comments. All right. So moving into old business.
And I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. You adopted the minutes.
We did?
Yep. Yeah, we're almost to adjourning.
Yeah, we're moving. Okay, so under old business, 5-5.1, batteries used for electricity storage, we're going to move that off of tonight's agenda and reschedule that for next month.
Do we need a motion to continue then?
You need to make a motion to table it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to table agenda item number 5.1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. And then next item is review and report on proposed text amendments for 15.02.010, 15.08.040, and 15.08.050. Attorney Eldridge will be handling.
Thank you, Chairman. The shorthand version is six code text amendments. Just so that everybody's up to speed, Chairman suggested and myself, Mr. Penicali, Mr. Barlock, and the Chairman met to discuss SIC codes following last month's discussion. I think a consensus was reached among the four of us that rather than go through the code and delete all the SIC code references or vice versa, that we would treat the SIC codes as simply guidelines to use when reviewing permitted uses. So with that in mind, and as we all agreed in that conference, and for discussion only tonight, because there's a little bit more work to do, the suggestion, the main part of the text amendment shows up in subsection D on page 6 of 18, under 1508040. The standard industrial classifications, six code references in this chapter are for illustrative purposes only. In the event of a conflict between the chapter's text and the SIC code, the chapter's text shall control. And with that in mind, let's jump up to the top. Mr. Barlow corrected me. The definitions for industry number and industry group number are in the process of being deleted, Council. That's part and parcel of the syntactical text amendments we wrestled with for several months. Council will take those up on the 19th. But I do think that, as an illustration, if you take number 2 at the top of the page under 1502.010 definitions, and you go down to 1508.050, uses which are prohibited, a good example would be the adult book and video stores. When you look at those SIC codes, and I've looked at the rest of the C SIC code classifications. Those SIC codes represent businesses that have nothing to do with adult entertainment. So in that sense, it's kind of confusing. So that's why I deleted, it's same for internet gaming. Internet gaming, I'm sure, is defined by statute. I handled the issue with that for another town several years ago, and my recollection that that's defined by statute. And again, those SIC code references don't really fit internet gambling. Adult-oriented dancing, same thing there. And you can, it's pretty well settled in just about, I don't know how many zoning ordinances there are in North Carolina, but I'm sure most of them have standard definitions for adult bookstores, video stores, and adult dancing, which I think is normally referred to as adult entertainment. So my suggestion is, since those definitions are pretty standard throughout the state, that we delete the SIC codes for those definitions as currently set forth in the code, and let me bring back some definitions for those three items that we can then insert into 1502.10. It's a work in progress because Mr. Barlock is also looking at each SIC code reference and the appendices where they're set forth in order to catch any inconsistencies, errors, or typos. So this is for discussion only. If you all want to move forward with this, then Mr. Barlock will continue his review. I'll come up with the definitions that I've referenced, and if you're satisfied with how subsection D suggests using the SIC codes, then we can move forward along those lines.
Just to add to Attorney Eldred, so doing the council update, there was discussion on the topic, but no real guidance or resolution. So I approached Mayor Pro Tem Oliver and just asked his input. He suggested this subgroup get put together, and that came out of it. And Craig, you were actually mentioned during that. The approach that Attorney Eldred used was very similar to one that was used several years back when there was a state Supreme Court decision in regards to restricted uses and so forth. And so putting in this kind of caveat that if there's a definition in a SIC code and they're in conflict, the definition is what will be used. So we don't have any potential conflict with the SIC code.
Just to expound on that a little bit, based on that Supreme Court case, council amended the code so that when a permitted use, when a proposed permitted use comes in the door and the text does not necessarily fit that proposed permitted use, then the analysis is you try to think of something, you try to find something in the text that's closest to the proposed use and analyze it that way. In that sense, the SIC codes offer a little bit more latitude and flexibility for interpreting or for analyzing a non-set, a permitted use that's not in the code, but might fit something else. The SIC codes open that up a little more broadly for that.
You know, if I could jump in, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with this. The SIC codes came into play probably, I don't know, 10 years ago or 12 years ago. And at that particular time, the definitions were very squishy and we didn't have a, you know, we're struggling to go through this process. And so I think it was a very good approach back then. But as Attorney Eldridge mentioned, that there's been a kind of a swap in terms of the definition prohibited and what we can allow and all that sort of thing. And so I, you know, I think this is perfectly fine to just use it as a, what's the term to use it as a? Yeah, just kind of, So, you know, I think that's perfectly fine.
But it gets set of hot water if there's conflict.
Right, right. And, you know, before when the statement was more on a positive that was allowed versus trying to identify what was prohibited, perhaps made a little more sense. But, you know, probably doesn't. I mean, it's perfectly fine. I don't have any emotional attachment to SIC codes.
And getting this resolved now allows Joe to be a little bit more thorough with the work that he's doing as opposed to having to go back and revisit it later.
Sure. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Right. And to add to that, everybody realizes we actually have three Well, there are three separate revisions on Chapter 15 in the works right now. We have the editorial syntactical change. We have our prohibited uses.
Permitted.
I couldn't get that word out. Permitted uses. And now we have this as the third SIC change coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. There's actually three different efforts going on at the same time.
No, I think that's fine.
So the members may want to discuss with Mr. Barlock the other piece of the SIC code PTAs or proposed text amendments is for me to do the definition, and we've already agreed on subsection D. As I mentioned, Mr. Barlock is also combing through the actual references for consistency's sake. So the commission, I can bring back a definition at any time, but because there's some pending Chapter 15 text amendments all across the board, staff would need some instruction when you want to do the formal review of report and consistency statement. Do you want to do that next month, or do you want to wait another month so that Joe can catch up, and particularly given the fact that council's going to work on consider and act on those syntacticals this month. So staff just needs to know when you want us to bring these back.
So would it get bundled into the permitted uses submission?
No, it would not be bundled. That doesn't mean it couldn't both be on the same agenda. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to, that might work because you're doing part three discussion tonight.
Right.
Review and report on them in July. So that might work. Gives Joe a little bit more time to, and he'll have the syntacticals approved by council later this month. So yep. That might work.
Yep.
So you want us to bring it back in July?
When is the July meeting?
It's July 7th, or July 5th, sorry.
July 5th. I probably won't be here, but that doesn't mean that you can't, because I'll be in San Diego.
Well, again, Mr. Barlock is not doing anything, not making any substantive changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's fine.
Yeah. So just grammar for the most part.
And that adult stuff is pretty standardized in definitions for that. So staff will bring them back to you for review and reporting, along with part three, permitted uses, reviewing and reporting on the July agenda. Okay.
All right, thank you.
So do we need to do anything?
So yeah, Beth, do we need to do anything?
No. Staff knows what to do.
On 5.2, right.
Bring it back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, now moving on to 5.3, review and report on permitted uses in the following districts, RA3, RA3A, RA4, and B1.
Chairman, I'll take that if you don't mind.
Please.
If you turn to page seven of your agenda package, you got the title page, and the third line down in the heading, review and report, that's the terminology I use when you're actually taking the last step, recommending what council should do and agreeing to a consistency statement. I did run into a couple of issues, so I want to take the opportunity to tell you how I analyze those issues. If you turn to page 8 of 18, we start picking up, and I might lapse and refer to this as part permitted uses part 2, which it is. We decided under 1520.020b to delete that language and use tourist lodging instead. Now, here's the first instance that I ran into concerning motels and hotels. Number one, the definition for tourist lodgings includes hotels and motels. Number two, the code provides definitions for hotels and motels. So, if you read down, you'll see that I took it out for the sake of redundancy, and it'll show up again somewhere else in what we're reviewing tonight. But if you'll note C, the old C, hotels and motels, the old D's that hotels and motels with restaurants provide, they have 20 units and 20 complete baths. It didn't make any sense to me to have hotels and motels broadly, in other words, any type of hotel and motel, and then the next subsection down to limit those hotels and motels.
Right.
So what I did in this instance was go with the limited provision for hotels and motels, and in order not to repeat the language in B, I just took out both C, which was a broader one, and D. So in other words, these permitted uses in RA3 do include hotels and motels, provided that they have the 20 units in the restaurants. Okay. That was the first instance that I ran into. If you look at the bottom of that page, the instructions were to use the definition, I think it's six.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
Because when I'm reading that definition on B, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, tourist lodgings including hotels and motels, provided that hotels and motels have restaurants. The way that it's written, it sounds like it would exclude hotels and motels that don't have restaurants.
That's my point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which apparently it already has by having D in there.
Well, I mean, I think the B, the way that it is right now, excludes it also.
Well, the current code says, number one, you can have hotels and motels as long as they got 20 units, and then you go one step above and it says you can have hotels and motels, and the definition for those do not include that specific limitation.
Right.
So I read the provision as saying you can have hotels and motels provided they're limited to restaurants and 20 units. So I took out the broad reference and went with the limitation.
Where are we?
But what I'm saying is that the way that it reads now, unless I'm reading it wrong, it would seem like if somebody were to, we're allowing if somebody comes in with a hotel and motel with 19 units and no restaurant, that they wouldn't be allowed.
Correct.
They would not be allowed.
Yeah.
So we want to have big hotels there.
And again, D was already in there. And the problem is it also had C.
The 20 units were already in the code.
So why don't we get rid of D rather than C?
Yeah, that's, what do we,
I mean,
what do we want?
We're making it restrictive so that we need 20 units in a restaurant. And I mean, I don't know where, we got to look at where RA3 is, but you got to look at the motels down here. They don't have restaurants.
Yeah, oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why I wanted to point that out.
You either keep the restriction and go with broad hotels and motels, which you don't need to specify since they're including tourist lodging, or you keep the restriction.
I would suggest just keep tourist lodging and take out all the stuff from reference to restaurants and size. I mean, because then, I don't know. It just seems to me that we're allowing something large when we're disallowing something small in RA3, which doesn't make sense.
As I said, I ran into that issue when I was drafting
this. So this is the very southern part of town?
The only thing we did last month was deal with tourist lodging. We didn't catch the use of motels and hotels throughout. I have no problem either way you want to go. I just need...
I mean, the definition of tourist lodgings includes hotels and motels, right?
Right.
My personal suggestion is that simply we change B to tourist lodgings and just take out everything after lodgings.
Okay. And then here's another RA3. So there are, RA3 is dotted throughout.
Did you hear my recommendation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Just simply just leave and say we allow tourist lodgings and take out all the reference to size and restaurants and stuff like that. If we're going to allow hotels that don't have restaurants in RA3, which there already are, it seems like we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So, John, RA3, we have three instances that we can see here. Two of them would be west of Fort Fisher Boulevard. And then one is actually oceanfront. Any thoughts on?
I don't think it matters what you guys do. Nobody's going to be building a brand new hotel around here.
Not unless we raise the height.
Yeah.
Not unless we raise the height.
Yeah.
Not unless the General Assembly raises the height.
But is there any risk that we're pushing an existing hotel into now being non-conforming?
I think Greg's suggestion clarifies
everything. It would.
Yeah. Put D, call it tourist lodging, put a period after that, take out C and D.
And that would be my recommendation.
Yeah. So any type of hotel.
Yep.
Is there a consensus on that approach?
I think it's right.
Yeah, I agree.
You good, Joe?
I'm good. I'm just reading the definition of tourist lodging, so, and it's fine.
The that's not a substantive change, so we can continue with the review and report and consistency statement. But when I pour it in the council, D, I'm going to put a period after lodgings and delete the rest of D and keep everything else as you see it.
Okay.
I think we're going to run into this issue again. I could be wrong, but the next page, page 9 of 18, is the 3A, RA3A district. Again, these are consistent with the discussion, but you'll see, again, that we took out hotels and motels, and we went with the current code restriction. To me, there was some ambiguity between hotels and motels in general, and then turn right around and say hotels and motels, but only if they have 20 units.
Right.
So that's the approach I took. Given the recent discussion, or given the discussion we just had, how do you want to handle 3A with respect to hotels and motels? Take out D and keep C, or
change it to all tourist lodgings again?
Tourist lodging.
All right, we'll make C tourist lodgings. Take out D, and I remember discussing this last month. We just didn't catch the ambiguity. You want to take out E as well?
The old E, not the new E, right?
Hotels and motels in which business may be conducted.
Yeah. No, I would suggest taking that out. In fact, you can see how this, I think I've been on the commission for, 13, 15 years or something. You can see that the evolution of kind of the language and how this is kind of sloppy. I mean, somebody 20, 25 years ago must have come up with this language and been concerned about barbershops and snack bars and hotels.
So your proposal is to take C, change it to old C, and change it to tourist lodgings, period.
And take out
old D and take out old E.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Is there a consensus on that?
I agree.
Yes. I agree.
That's fine.
If you turn the page, we can go to RA4. I guess what we're talking about is you want to take C and change it to tourist lodging?
Yeah.
Yes.
RA4, do we have any tourist lodgings in RA4? Before we...
There's an oceanfront section here, and that's E Avenue.
I don't think we have anything.
But to keep it standard with the others.
Well, it is a residential district, and if we don't have any, I think residential district should be residential. If there aren't any hotels or motels or tourist lodgings in RA4, I personally think we should keep it as residential then.
See if there's any other RA4.
I mean, it's kind of implied because, look, it's one and two family dwellings, townhomes and condominiums, home occupations, and then we threw in, somebody threw in hotels and motels when this was written. And
yeah, here's another.
But we don't allow other sort of commercial activity.
Okay. There's another. Got this RA4 here, and then here is another RA4.
Which one's that there?
That's 1A.
That's 1A, okay. This is that new development. That's all residential.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there.
This is RE4 here.
Okay, that's the residential condos right there, or townhomes.
So this is...
John, are there any commercial hotels, motels, or anything like that, tourist activities in RA4?
I'm double checking right now. signature. But that's getting ready to turn into townhouses.
So my recommendation for RA4 is just take out C. I mean, we're not affecting anybody, and it.
And then, John, do you just see two sections for RA4?
Yes, sir.
So, any perspective?
I think we take it out. It makes it consistent with everything else we've done.
Sure.
Take it out?
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We have consensus.
We're taking out C and relettering D.
Yes.
Yes.
That brings us to D1 on pages 11 and 12 of your agenda packet. I don't think there's any, based on our previous discussions, if you look at old I, new H, tourist lodging, so I don't think we have the same hotel-motel issue.
Okay.
And last time I think we talked about bus terminals, didn't we, and we decided to take that out?
Yeah. Struck it out.
Okay.
We also, we're missing the first two digits of all those SIC codes.
That's right.
Okay, so I filled those in. And then on the back side, we added real estate establishment.
And that's that new definition that we use
for
real estate. So. No, I think that looks good. Oh, I remember we had a discussion about dance halls and whether that's a old 1940s term or whether it has, we want to change that because that dance hall is still in there. We really couldn't define what a dance hall was.
I left it in there because there were no instructions to take it out.
I mean,
it's all right.
Remember how you approach permitted use analysis. You try to find the closest thing.
Right.
So it doesn't matter that. To me, it doesn't matter that there's a precise definition. If somebody wants to open a discotheque, you would say, well, dance hall is permitted.
Yeah. And 7911, even those areas are simply illustrative right now. 7911 SIC is, does anybody have the SIC in front of them?
I got it here. Dance studios, schools, and halls. Establishments primarily engaged in operating dance studios, schools, and public dance halls or ballrooms. Establishments primarily engaged in renting facilities used as dance halls or ballrooms are classified in real estate.
Okay.
So it's ballroom, dance hall, dance studio, and school.
So this would be a dance studio for little kids, exactly, or something like that. So by calling it a dance hall.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's where we got comfortable with it. So I think we have consensus there.
That completes our review of the report. If you want to entertain a motion whether or not to recommend the council to adopt these changes that we agreed upon.
I'll recommend or move that we recommend to council that we forward the proposed text amendments that we just talked about with the changes.
I second.
You want to recommend the council to adopt these?
Yes. So the motion will to adopt these changes. Is that okay for a second?
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And then if you look at page 13, that's the proposed consistency statement for the action you just took. The middle paragraph is where you make your findings. PZC, I'm reading in the third line over to the right hand, PZC finds that the intent of the proposed amendments is to align permitted uses with existing conditions in those districts. And then goes on to say what part of the new comprehensive land use plan that policy is consistent with.
All right, so I'll make a motion to adopt the zoning consistency statement.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Right, thank you.
Is the zone RA B1 or is it just B1?
I caught that as well, and I looked at something in further in the code that's set up as B-1.
Right, so we're going to fix that.
And that would be an anomaly if it wasn't the dash. Mm-hmm. Everything else is. Hmm. Oh, so you're saying I got to change that too? Chairman, to new business.
So, Attorney Eldridge, just for clarification purposes, are we leaving in RA B1 or are we eliminating RA in front of B1?
That's a good question. I don't know. John knows that. I don't know.
Where are you guys talking about?
Page 30. RA. What does RA stand for? RA3A, RA3, what does the RA stand for?
Residential accessory is what I always understood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So B1, it's not RA B1 then, right?
No.
It's just B1.
Because we do have B2, B3, and B4.
No.
Yeah. I think the confusion is because we mixed up one from what was supposed to be covered last month. And maybe that's why it's been misturned.
Where are you all picking it? I mean, my handout has just B1.
Page 13 on the consistency statement. Middle paragraph says RA-B-1.
Yeah, it's just a typo.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you.
See you later. Goodbye.
Delivery.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
It's just a consistency statement. It still includes that.
Yeah, just take off the RA in the consistency statement.
All right, we good?
Okay.
All right, so moving to new business. Prior to getting into the last four zones for permitted uses, Craig, do you want to go ahead and elaborate on this new topic you've asked for tonight, beach property rights?
So we're going to put my thing before 6.1.
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Can you bring that up, Bev, if you could find that email? And while that's being brought up, it's just something I read in the newspaper, which is a very fascinating. Is it Sunset? I forget where it is. Sunset. Yeah, Atlantic Beach. There we go. What this is basically is if you go back and look at these communities back in the 1940s, many of these communities had deeded properties that were beachfront back then, and over time, erosion has eliminated those. And we actually, I believe, have this in Kiri Beach too, where there was at one time, if you go back, I don't know, 50 years ago or something like that, we had an additional street and properties, which is now our beach. And over time, this erosion took place. Well, these were deeded properties. And essentially, they were abandoned. And I guess what happened when you read this here, that some person decided, well, they were abandoned properties, but they're still deeded. So what he did is he did quick deeds or something like that and gave himself or basically acquired the deeds and now is arguing that he owns the beachfront and the dunes because those were actually deeded properties at one time. And according to this, he's standing out there and everybody who has a pier going across the dune, he says that that's private property and they're trespassing. And they either have to pay him money or they can't do it or something like that. It's a fascinating argument, and I think this is a pretty good article because the counter argument is that, well, because the towns have applied public money, you know, that we've done renourishment and things like that, that there's been a de facto
claim that these are now public lands, and it looks like it's going to be have to be resolved in court. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is, one, do we have a similar type of situation where at one time, if you go back to the 1930s or 40s, we actually had a row of deeded properties that are now our beachfront, that the erosion has taken place, and is this something that we may have to deal with preemptively? I mean, it's kind of a clever thing this guy did, but...
New Jersey or New York?
Well, he showed up with guns. Read this article, and the guy showed up with a gun, and was enforcing that these people were trespassing on his property. And people didn't. I mean, this article is interesting because they don't know how to deal with this particular issue because he has acquired the deeds to these properties that are now.
That's the initial problem. Mayor Pro Tem Oliver also circulated an article about this situation several weeks ago. Here's the main problem. Both articles, in order to obtain a quitclaim deed, somebody has to deliver it to you. So I have no idea on either article who could, I don't give myself a quitclaim deed. Ms. Chase has to give me the quitclaim deed. So I'd like to know who gave this person those quitclaim deeds. That's the first point. And that could be very telling. It almost reads as if he gave it to himself, but that's not possible. So I'd like to see one of the quitclaim deeds to understand better the mechanics of what's going on. Second point, I'll make a couple more points, which I know are applicable to New Hanover County. I think they may be applicable to, this would be Onslow County or Pender County, but I'd have to check a particular Senate bill from 1967 to confirm that. But in New Hanover County, the North Carolina General Assembly enacted a session law in 1967 that conveyed fee simple title, which is the best there is, to municipalities for those portions of the beach that were re-nourished up to, I think, the building line and down to the mean low water mark line. So in Kiri Beach, when you've got those situations, the town owns that beach. And if that's the same for the county that this particular instance arises in, then I don't think the municipality cut those quitclaim deeds to that individual. So that needs to be confirmed. The second thing, again, which may not be relevant for whatever county this particular issue is arising in, but is relevant to New Hanover County, and John knows more about it than I do, but back in the mid-1990s, every single beachfront property owner granted an easement to the town over portions of the beach, I guess, for the renourishment projects. So those are the kind of things that you need to look at in order, particularly the first one, where did these quitclaim deeds come from? Those are the things that you need to look at in order to be able to analyze exactly what's going on in this situation.
Right. I just wanted to raise the issue because I thought it was an interesting issue. I think it has to do with abandonment, and I don't know, different states have different rules on abandonment of a property and who can acquire those after an abandonment.
Well, it's usually the other way around. It's adverse possession, which I think is 20 years. Possession used, and that's the other thing. These are public trust beaches,
right.
So the ownership may extend to whatever point. But that ownership interest, whether it's a municipality, a state, or this individual private landowner, they're all subject to the public's right to use that beach. So ownership interests are subservient to the public trust doctrine.
Just out of curiosity, and it wasn't quite clear on that, but it sounded like he did acquire it, and maybe he approached the previous landowners, the families, or whatever, and asked for a quick claim deed for these deeded properties from back in the 1940s and got it that way. I think that's kind of implied in this article.
I think you have examples out there where there were fees that were due, you know, but past due,
property taxes and
things
of
that,
sure.
Assessments and so forth, then that's potentially where it could happen too.
Yeah,
that
you could have. But that wouldn't be a quick claim deed. That would be a different type.
And I might be using the wrong. I know what quick claim deeds are, but I forget what's in the article. Yeah.
The other article mentioned.
Well, that's what I thought, yeah.
If this came to me in order to analyze what was going on, I would obtain the deeds so I could look at them, and if they're recorded, they're obtainable. I'd also check the 1967 Senate bill to see who owns fee title, who owns fee simple title to what parts of the beach, and then I would compare if that was applicable, what the town owned versus what he's claiming to own. Mm-hmm. So there's some homework to do there to have a full.
I don't think we need to deal with it, but I just wanted to raise the issue that, you know, this guy was an entrepreneur and he thought of a clever way, and I don't know if it's going to work out in court because they made, you know, the article makes the same point that you do, that this has been acquired by the public because there's been public investment and renourishment of the beaches and that sort of thing. So that's the town's argument. His argument is, you know, sorry, I got a deed, and he shows up with a gun, and so it's, I mean, who knows what people do? It takes some person to do something like this. So, but anyway, I just wanted to raise the issue and get it out there because it is kind of a semi-zoning issue. So.
All right, are we ready to go to permitted uses part 3?
Yep. So we've got 4 zones to cover: RB1, B2, B3, B4. And if you flip to page 15 in the packet, and we'll just kind of go in order of these pages. So the first one we're looking at is B2.
Or Joe, you've got the whole code.
Sorry?
You've got the whole code with you?
Yes, I do.
Can you go to 1502.010 and see if there's a definition for guest cottages? Chairman, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You can go ahead.
No, I think it's good.
Come up.
No, there's not.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the first thing, like with motels being referenced there.
Just go back to tourists.
This is your old discussion. I'm just taking
notes. Yeah.
Would that be tourist lodging?
So, we're going to use a tourist lodging.
What jumps out at me, the B should be tourist lodging.
Let's look at B2 first. B2 is way up here. Right?
Yeah, it's
far
west, around settlers.
Start right where we are.
Right. The reason that's important is we have an overlay district on that right now. And the whole idea of an overlay district, even though it hasn't ever been used.
B2?
I think that's in the overlay district.
No, I think
it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't the overlay end at 5th?
B1 is the overlay.
Mm-mm-mm. I believe the overlay comes all the way to Settlers Lane.
Yeah, it comes.
No, not the historic overlay. The mixed use overlay.
Oh, okay.
The mixed use overlay goes all the way up K, and so I think this would be under the mixed use overlay.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd have to check the mixed use overlay, but if it's anything like the historic district overlay, the underlying permitted uses are still permitted.
That's correct. So,
I think in mixed-use district, you have to get a special use permit.
Probably, yeah, when we put that together. But again, so this actually is important in case anybody, I don't think there's any businesses there right now, but since the original idea of the mixed use, which was in the original land use plan, is that does become a commercial/residential overlay, that this is actually the sort of thing that would be allowable because it is the underlying zoning for those mixed use. If anybody ever comes in and does mixed use, which they may not, you know, so.
And then this is the only zone that has the term guest cottages included?
It may be, but it's not defined, and I think it's swallowed up by tourist lodging, so I'm not sure it's an issue.
So do we want to just change B to tourist lodging,
that's
period?
What
I
So it's consistent with the other ones that we've done. Makes sense to me.
You agree?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Under D, retail. Well, that's you, what, you just want to go down C then?
Yes, yeah, C okay. kind of confuses me. But I'd have to look at the code. I mean, isn't accessory, are accessory uses already covered in the code as compared to making it a particular permitted use under one particular district?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that part of the code. Maybe John knows.
What was the question?
Are accessory uses already covered in the code? Because this permitted use for B2 includes accessory uses clearly incidental to a permitted use.
Like all of our permitted uses have that line up.
Yeah, we have that in the B1.
We got that in B1?
Yes, sir. 1526.020 alpha. Same exact wording.
That's fine. As I said,
that's the same wording as in B1 now?
Yeah, that we just sent to council.
Yep, I see. That's fine. As I said, I wasn't clearly recollecting that.
And it's in B4 currently.
So we keep C as written.
And it's in RB1 too.
For D, retail businesses, I don't understand the after the comma, what that means.
The public is rendered.
I assume every retail business might argue that they provide service to the public.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a prerequisite.
We could take out that.
Yeah.
We could delete everything after the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And again, one of Joe's ongoing projects is to check the accuracy of the SIC coders.
Right. Now, do we want to use the same wording that we use in District B1, where we said retail stores not otherwise listed? I mean, retail stores, and now here we say retail businesses.
Yeah.
But just quick glance, the SIC codes are different.
They are, that's right.
From BWSO, without going through every one of these individual.
And again, when we put into those SIC codes, I remember having exactly the same type of conversation. This is many, many years ago, where there was a discussion about, well, did we want to have different retail stores in different places? And that's probably why the SIC codes are different, but I don't remember that conversation. There's some reason why we picked these SIC codes versus the other ones. Maybe they're smaller type of things. I just don't know.
But should the term be retail stores not otherwise listed?
Where was there? Did somebody say that that's also in B1?
It is.
Where? Which subsection?
It's the new M.
Oh, actually, retail stores not otherwise listed.
Right, but those are different stores according to the SIC codes.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can interpret but it's, permitted uses coming in the door. Where, how can you make a distinction between retail stores and retail businesses?
Right.
It is interesting that they're completely different SIC codes. So they're, when this was originally set up, and it's been a two-phase process. There would have been kind of verbiage, and then maybe 15 years ago we attached SIC codes to these things. Mm-hmm. And so there must have been some discussion as to why the SIC codes are different and why the language is different for that B2 district versus B1.
Yeah, there are some SIC codes that are the same.
Yeah, there are some, but what, like 5331 is different. What is 5331?
5331 is a variety store. Limited price variety store, retail.
How about 5399? That one's not on the B1.
Miscellaneous general merchandise stores.
5411?
Grocery stores, convenience, food markets, grocery supermarkets.
Hmm.
Right. So those are the ones that you're looking at in the B2, right?
Yeah, and so the sense I have, just the way you define it, is that the idea was to have kind of smaller retail operations,
right.
Not big grocery stores or things like that, variety stores, little small type of
That's
operations.
That's what they are, because if you look at the ones listed in B1, it's like hardware store, the
right.
next one is nursery and landscaping, and bigger type of things.
Yep.
So the original idea was to keep these retail operations on a small scale.
Mm-hmm. And on D... B2, you want to just keep the 6 and keep the retail business and delete the including through
renders? I'm fine with that, without trying to fine-tune the definition of scale.
So what was the, I'm sorry, what was the recommendation again?
B2D, retail business, delete the rest of that line, keep the SIC code subject to the confidentiality thereafter.
Well, I think the, isn't the intent in B1, and when it says retail stores not otherwise listed, is there are throughout this section certain types of retail stores
right.
described.
I think listed is reference to all those subsections.
And then you have some of that here in B2 as well, right? So store, shop for custom work, business providing the service of rental.
Well, I think you got to watch too, because remember what the caveat wording that we added concerning the SICs, right? That they're just illustrative,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I could look at this and say my. Whatever, my body shop or my, you know, engine overhaul shop is a retail business, you know, which that may be something we don't want, but illustratively, it's a retail business.
Well, the whole purpose of B2, as I kind of think about this discussion, is that everything, we were going to allow retail, and even when you look at F, that allows for a bit of manufacturing. We call it custom work, but it's actually manufacturing as long as those units are sold there on site. But the idea of here under B2, given where it is that we would allow certain type of retail type of activities, but we wanted it at small scale versus B1, which we're allowing larger scale type of things. And, you know, I think this was an effort at that time to try to keep that sense of small scale in the B2. And I don't know if there's better language for that or not.
Well, yeah. Maybe we need to add words like that, small scale retail business.
No, I disagree.
That's nebulous. But I still think we need to consider something similar to what was said in B1, where you say retail stores not otherwise listed, since you've listed some retail.
Maybe, but the flip side of that coin is deleting F&G.
See, F actually allows manufacturing.
You're going to have to come up with some better wording. That's just wide open.
Yeah, agree. So.
Mm-hmm.
So F, the idea of F is that if somebody wanted to have like a store where they're manufacturing T-shirts or something like that, or doing something with T-shirts, and as long as they sell it there on the, you know, that was the idea of what they were trying to get to with F.
So it's not like a factory where they're shipping boxes of stuff off somewhere else to be sold.
It's still a retail establishment.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to fine tune it to include, you know, to include a manufacturing. I mean, retail businesses includes FG, F&G. And
I don't understand G either.
Yeah, I don't understand F&G, so if you don't want to delete them, you're going to have to come up with some good language.
Okay.
We're going to rewrite it, and I'm not sure how you want to proceed with that. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, F&G are retail operations, so I don't know why retail business doesn't catch it. And again, consider the flexibility of analyzing a proposed permitted use when it comes in the door that's not provided for, and plus when you got the SIC codes to help you with that analysis.
Yeah, just if we just use that term retail businesses with those SIC codes, we've got to pay real close attention to those SIC codes, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's just retail businesses wide open.
Right, it's the same as this.
And if somebody, if there's one of those SIC codes that does insinuate it could be something large scale, then you have that kind of comparable issue.
And keep in mind that if this is all in the mixed avenue, mixed business overlay district, that whatever use you're talking about is a special use application. Can you get that part of, Joe, you've got it. Can you find the overlay district? Maybe chapter 15.
Well, the overlay district is designed to allow these sort of uses on the bottom floor and then have retail on the top floor.
What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what you write down for this B2 district, because at the end of the day, it's under the mixed avenue, the mixed use overlay district, and is therefore subject to being granted a special use permit. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but somebody could do this without enacting what's allowable in the overlay district. Somebody could put a store there.
No, I don't think so. I'm getting Joe to find it.
Because the overlay district is designed to include residential and business in the same property.
KMU mixed use overlay district?
Yes.
Find the provision that says any use has to be approved through a special use.
Use is allowed in the MUOD by special use permit only.
There you go. So it doesn't matter what, is all of B2 in the overlay district?
I believe so.
If that's the case, it doesn't.
I have to look at it because.
Well, this B2 allows more than we have on our permitted uses page. It has churches, it has colleges.
It's not right here.
Professional offices.
Here. Yeah, here.
What? The overlay district regs? So
the words. The words here. Have that all
in. And then stops somewhere here.
That's all okay, right. So.
So it's just.
No, it's just this little
just
thing right there.
That's exactly.
That's little thing right there.
Yeah.
So I think that. I mean, there's one or two properties that are not in the overlay district in B2. I mean, B2 is a little teeny thing.
Mm-hmm. And then, Attorney Eldridge, I mean, even though a special permit has to be requested and approved, but we can't just be subjective in that, right? I mean, there's got to be some basis for the decision.
Are granted or denied through a quasi-judicial hearing conducted by the town council.
Right.
And there is some discretion in that, but they have, if you look at the code, there's four things you have to prove through competent material and sufficient evidence that the applicant has to prove for town council to issue that special use permit. One of them is the main one is that, well, two of them that I recall, that the proposed use will not injure the value of adjoining properties, and the big one is that the proposed use is consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood.
But I think that the purpose of the overlay district is to allow, and that's why it's called mixed use, to allow a residential use and a business use in the same property. That's the whole idea of a mixed use overlay. What this allows is, even though it's an overlay district, you don't have to put a residential unit on top of these businesses. If you want to do that, then it's under the overlay district.
No, it doesn't work that way. It's the flip side. If I come in for, if I want to do residential, if I want to, the way I read the provision that Joe read is that if I come in the door claiming a permitted use to put a residential in B2, according to the B2 overlay district regs, that's still, I need a special use permit to do that. So if you come in and if the overlay district controls, the underlying uses are allowable, but in this particular overlay district, you have to get a special use permit. So I don't know the mixed-use overlay district regs that well, but if there's a provision that says residential on the bottom
and commercial on top, and somebody comes in for residential different than that, they still got to get a special use permit, and they're not complying with the regulations, so they should be denied that special use permit.
I would have to look at, because I'm not familiar either, but I believe that the whole idea of the mixed use was to say that under a unique situation where somebody wants to come in and put a commercial on the bottom and a residential on top, then it would kick in the mixed use overlay district requirements. But if you don't have that mixed use, you could still do this. So you could take a something in the B2 district and you could put a motel there. As long as you don't have a residential thing, I don't think it would require the mixed use overlay requirement. I mean, I could be wrong, but I know that was the original intention.
So Joe, does it say all?
You're right, Craig. I mean, definitely getting in the weeds on this thing.
Just from a historical standpoint, I mean, how did that evolve?
Well, that's a long history in itself. I'm sure John remembers, but it actually was in our land use plan. The original land use plan that we had talked about that as being a mixed use. And a prior mayor made that a very important part of his position, that we actually develop a zoning process for a mixed use because it was in the land use plan. Even though there's not a lot of interest, I don't think any businesses, and I think John, probably what, one person has probably asked you about it in the last 10 years or something like that. But there was a lot of push by the town council that planning and zoning create a mixed use down the K Avenue area, even though there wasn't a lot of interest in it at that particular time.
How do we get from permitted uses to that anyway?
Because we're looking at B2 permitted uses, but if that permitted use is coming up under the overlay district, you got to get a special use permit.
But I think that's only if they put a residential thing on top of it.
It's only for mixed use. It's not about for permitted uses that are already built out.
Yeah.
If you read the mixed use overlay district regs, the mixed use overlay district regs say they are controlling. And they also say that if you go into your permitted use, which would be based on the B2 regs in the overlay district, that you have to get a special use permit to do that.
Complementary land uses.
Okay. And again, just one other point is that part of these districts are not in the overlay district. The overlay district only goes one, if I remember right, one property on each side of K Avenue. And
That's your entirely correct.
Yeah,
that's
so
should be here.
And I disagree with the interpretation. I mean, it simply says that if you want to use a special use and use one of these uses, it would have to be done by special use only. It doesn't say anything about not being allowed to use your permitted use by zoning, regardless of this. That was the entire intent of this. If you wanted to make mixed use, then yes, then that would kick in special use,
right?
Because you would have to identify the residential component of it.
Yeah.
And then you have to get the special use permit for that use, that commercial use that would be underneath that.
That's correct.
That was certainly the intent.
I'm just reading it. It says use is allowed in the mixed use overlay district by special use permit only.
But none of that's none of that's residential.
I'll be glad to do what you want. In my opinion, the mixed use overlay district controls permitted uses under B2. Mm-hmm. Just like in the historic district, you can bring a use into that historic district that is provided for in, what is it, B1?
Mm-hmm.
You can bring a B1 in there, but the overlay district still controls that. The way I read mixed use overlay, the overlay controls, but I can see where you all are coming from. We'll just do it any way you want.
I mean, we could address that issue and put S's behind everything in here, okay? Because if you put an S by it, then even if you don't apply the mixed use, it still would require a special use permit.
I think we need to do some studying before we just decide to put an SSX.
No, I agree. So.
I mean, everybody probably needs to read the mixed use overlay district, not just a quick 2-minute overview, but actually read it.
This whole conversation started when looking at retail businesses, right? That's where we had our initial confusion. But if you go to the mixed use section wording, it says light retail, and it says see retail miscellaneous for definition. And then we do have a definition of retail miscellaneous tied to light, which I believe we should tie to zone B2. And it ties it all together. If we say where we have item D right now, retail businesses, if we say light retail businesses, see retail miscellaneous for definition.
I think that's a good solution.
Yeah.
Light retail businesses, see, just like it says here, see retail, comma, miscellaneous. For
now,
definition.
Does it say see retail, comma, miscellaneous, or does it say the definition in there?
Well, KBC 15.02.010.
I'm sorry, could you give me the side again, please?
15.02.010.
What do you want to do about F and G?
I think take out F and G.
Agree.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
We have two B2 areas, right?
Oh, we do?
Where's the second one, John? We only found the one up
here. Yeah.
B1 and
RA3. There's a B1 by RA3 over here.
Got this one.
That's the only one I knew about.
Oh, here it is. No, yep.
Yeah, B2, okay.
Oh, okay. Right. So, yeah. Now, that's not in the overlay. That's... I mean, these are all residential. That's all residential right now. No, it's not all?
Terrace
Lodge? No, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Bait and Tackle Shop?
You're right.
Okay. Real estate office, post office.
That gives a whole different perspective.
But those would all be considered under the light retail that defining there.
And real estate offices is listed as item H.
And if we change motels and guest cottages to tourist accommodations, then that takes care of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's a good idea to change D to your light business definition. Change B, motels and guest cottages, a tourist accommodation. And then I guess we keep in F and G. I mean, that doesn't hurt to keep it in. It's kind of sloppy language, but it's not going to hurt anything.
So, John, why do you feel like F and G should stay in?
Because all those are already being used as permitted uses, pretty much.
So, like, we have somebody that's making articles and selling them? Right. And then G, that's just confusing to begin with.
I don't understand that, actually. Business of providing the service of rental, which will not create a public nuisance.
Oh, rentals, right.
Yeah, I guess, like if somebody's renting a dance hall or something like that. Mm-hmm.
No, I was thinking of like golf cart rental or something like that.
Oh, okay, could be.
Or a surfboard or any kind of rental.
But that couldn't be in the light business definition. So 15.02.010?
Yeah, retail miscellaneous. It's long.
I mean, just by leaving it, it doesn't create any problems if you leave it if we leave F and G kind of the same.
I think we should leave them.
I don't think it's not going to affect anybody any.
Yeah. Anyway. I just hate having things in there that we can't even explain.
Yeah. And if we leave G in, I would change it rental businesses provided the service will not create a public nuisance, because it's kind of sloppy. Business provided the service or rental, which mm-hmm. you say rental businesses provided the service will not create a public nuisance.
Yeah, so this could be bikes,
surfboards, like yeah.
everything. All right, so delete business providing the service of rental, and then just rental businesses, which will not mm-hmm. create a public nuisance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then change D to your like business definition. And then change D to tourist accommodations.
And then F is staying or not?
Staying.
I don't have a problem with F staying.
Okay.
Because I can see the purpose of it. You know, we can maybe tweak the language, but I think it makes sense.
Attorney Eldridge, you good with this?
Mm-hmm. And then the real estate offices would have to be our regular term for our description of real estate offices that we've used elsewhere, or is it the same as this? I know we talked about the definition using. We changed the language of real estate offices someplace.
Could have been in the prior section.
Yeah, just use what we've used before for real estate offices.
So, Tony, you good with this?
The same.
All right.
And Jim, at the beginning, we need to say the following are the permitted and special uses. Like we did in other sections that have special uses.
There's B3 now.
So, Attorney Eldridge, given we've made a lot of changes here, could you just recap for us what you have?
For the B2 district, the first sentence under the header, we're going to insert "and special" after the word "permitted." We're going to delete the text in D in the place of tourist lodging. On D, should read "light retail businesses, comma C retail, comma miscellaneous," and then I'll cite KPC 1502.10. E, we did not change. F, we did not change. G, will read "businesses providing rental services which will not create a public nuisance." H, will use the definition that we utilized in the Part 2 text amendments.
Good.
It's good.
Okay.
All right. On to B3.
I can make the next two really easy.
That's an easy one.
What's that?
I can make the next two really easy for you guys.
Oh, yep. Good.
Because these are written prior to the current development.
So I would delete everything in B3 and RB1 except for A, B, and O. Excuse me, A, B, and P for B3.
A, B, and what?
P as in Peter.
Just to kind of give everybody, B3 is this little area, mm-hmm. and what that was originally was a real estate store or a real estate office, and then something else. And there's a lot of debate as to what would go in there, and they ultimately, you know, knocked that stuff down and built townhomes and condos there. So, I mean, it's a done issue, but. There's a lot of concern that a gas station would go in there or something like that, but that hasn't happened. So I completely agree with John's recommendation there.
Now, we retained O in the other business districts.
the accessory use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, be honest, even though it's a B, it's not a business district anymore. It's completely residential. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 100% residential.
John, did you want to keep O, or did you have a reason for taking it out?
I just don't think it's necessary because there's not anything going to ever change there. P encompasses what they have now, and so that would make it super simple in my opinion.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it makes sense. Tony, you good?
Yeah.
Yep.
So keep A, B, and P. Mm-hmm. And take out everything else.
Thank you, John.
RB1.
Okay, can I possibly make another quick recommendation? Is what would be the difficulty of changing the B3 to like a, put R in front of it somehow, or change it to some other, because it's not a business district anymore. I mean, does that represent a problem?
I don't think
if
that's
you
necessary in order to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, and it would require changing the map and
okay,
anytime
right.
That district is referencing anything
yeah.
else.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ordeal.
All right, so RB1.
I recommend deleting everything but A and B, and then plugging in P from B3 into RB1.
Where's RB1? So John, at one time this was thought of as having both residential and business, and now is 100% residential.
And what the gas station down there at one point.
Yeah. There was actually commercial in these different places at one time. When I first moved here in 92 or 93, there are actually commercial places in these things, as well as testing plants, as you'll see when we talk about, I think, B4 or something like that.
But at this point, it's 100% residential.
All residential.
And no opportunity for doing anything else?
There's no letting us to do anything else.
Okay. All right. I think it makes sense. You got concurrence on that?
Yep.
B4, again, this was actually a testing site. When I first moved here, they were testing metals, corrosion metals, and things like that. And that's why you have laboratories, et cetera. That's all been destroyed. So I would take out B. I'd take out B.
Is this all residential?
Yeah, it's all residential. There might be one or two lofts that aren't built out yet. But
I decided B and C?
Yeah, C2 would be fine.
I agree with that.
I'm going to take out B and C.
Is there any? Maybe across the street.
And we don't need townhouses
and
condominiums in there.
Open lots, but
it's going to be residential.
It's going to be residential.
No, we don't want townhouses and condominiums.
Okay.
And we don't want laboratories doing corrosion testing either. It was pretty neat when they had that. John, were you here when they had that corrosion testing yet?
I was born right here.
Yeah, so you know it. I mean, that's yeah.
All right. So basically, it's just the same as the preceding without townhouses and condos.
Right.
Yes.
Concur?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Attorney Eldridge, you good with this?
Yes, sir. I'll bring them back to you for review and report next month if you want. I'll see why we shouldn't.
All right. That concludes the agenda. Anything else anybody has?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Just to let you know, I probably will not be here for the July meeting.